thing is that we get home and show it to Mom and Dad.
Why not?
Because there might be something bad for you in it.
It's a candy bar. It's supposed to be bad for you.
You listen to me.
Did you hear that? Where did it come from?
Over there. Let's take it out.
Are you scared?
No. Then let's go. You're scared.
I'm not.
I'm not. Okay, then you knock on the door.
Python's got for you, huh? Ah, here they are. Championship belt, don't think you want that. Hey, Hulk Hogan's hair, huh? Hey, here's Fabulous Moolah's head. Heck, looks like we're all out of goodies. Hey, Cyclops, you got any treats for these cute little kids over here? What do you got for them, buddy?
I'm sorry, Python, we're all out of stuff.
Says who, huh?
Hey there, podcast party people.
Oh, yeah, that's how we're doing it this week.
Yeah, I just kind of just went brain dead there for a second.
No, I think it's great. I say roll with it. It's going in great directions, I could tell already.
Hey, podcast party people, welcome back to another groovy podcast about action movies and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dig it, cat. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm gonna layer in some of that like NPR jazz, I think, under this.
That'd be nice.
It's gonna create this whole vibe.
I had like the title of the movie that we're gonna cover today.
Mm-hmm.
That Salvation Army song, Christmas song. That hey you mama.
They're using that on the Salvation Army.
Well, then he talks about the Salvation Army in the song. He's like the Salvation Army.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then I also had Bob Seger's Night Moves
mm-hmm.
sandwiched in there with the other two things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you gave me like the, hey, let's do this, my brain was like all over the place.
Too much Bob Seger action going on. That guy rocks so hard, he's liable to short circuit anything.
Ain't it funny how the night moves,
mm-hmm.
you know? Oh, criminies. It's the podcast
that's
like
right.
we talked about.
We're back after our little bit of a, you know, it's not a vacation because we weren't relaxing or nothing.
No.
It was the opposite of that, really.
I'll tell you what, vacation, all I ever wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good song, too.
Yeah.
But you got married this weekend.
Yeah.
Man. How are we going to sign off the podcast? We're having troubles fucking getting into it. We're not going to be able to do our sign off anymore. You didn't stay single.
Well, I tell.
That's the whole mantra of Baby Oil and Blow.
Well, I can tell everybody too.
Just like.
I just tell them to.
Yeah, don't live how I do.
No. Yeah. You're not
do
me.
Do what I say, not what I do.
Listen
That's
to
how
me,
I was gonna
you the
okay.
listener. You're not me. You'll never be me.
Yeah, get over it.
Yeah, get over yourself. I'm one of the best people I know.
But somebody could. If they wanted to, maybe go as the host of Baby Oil and Blow for Halloween soon, because it's coming up.
Yeah.
We're in October.
How would they dress up?
This is the first week of our Action Spooktacular.
Yeah, that's
Things
right.
are about to get very spooky on this action movie podcast, much more than normal.
Yeah, it's Baby Oil and Blow.
Turn down the lights while you're listening to this.
It is a...
If you're driving, like,
it is
turn
a
off your headlights.
Action Spooktacular
mm-hmm.
for this month.
That's right.
I got to make sure I do that every
week. We've hung up cobwebs.
Yep.
All over the podcast studio here. Got a little fog machine going in the corner. I'm sorry if that's causing
Snot
too much
face.
Noise.
Cobwebs.
We're Drop Dead Fred references. Yeah. One of my favorite Halloween movies.
He a good dude, that Drop Dead Fred.
I'd consider it a horror movie because Phoebe Cates is clearly psychotic in it, and that's scary. The woman's having an extreme mental break.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even stop to think about that. It's like a much darker What About Bob.
Yeah, you watch it like as an adult, it plays much different because, like,
yeah, why?
The evil mom suddenly becomes very sympathetic, and you're like, yeah. Oh, that poor woman had to raise this awful child.
Yeah.
Who's like smearing dog shit all over everything on like a daily basis.
Well, she didn't.
That poor
Drop
woman.
Drop Dead Fred did it.
Yeah, he's not real, Matt. She's an insane person.
He's passed away since the filming.
No,
did
that guy who played Drop Dead Fred die?
Yeah, Simon something or other.
He had a name?
He was a Brit rocker.
Oh, that's unfortunate to think about.
Yeah, he died at like 53, very young.
I just think about him and Yahoo Serious as being the same person in my brain.
Which they are not. I do believe Drop Dead Fred is much taller
than
Yahoo Serious. He's
not an Aussie.
No, he's British.
Oh, I really thought he was from Australia.
And I do believe he's British.
Must have been thinking about Crocodile Dundee. Is Crocodile Dundee still alive?
Oh, yeah, he's got to be.
Oh, good. He's been leathery for decades now.
Paul Hogan.
I mean, that man's fucking pickled. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Dead.
No, he's real preserved.
Yeah. Anyways, it's the Baby on the Blow. You got two hosts, me.
Every week.
Big time, Matt O. With me as always. Mm-hmm. You can be the Steve Irwin.
Okay.
To my running out of famous Australians.
Bindi Irwin?
Yeah, Bindi Irwin. That's fine.
You always reminded me of Bindi Irwin a little bit.
Hot as shit.
I was just going to ask. I wonder if she's gotten hot yet. Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
Yes, she's attractive.
Nice to be here. It's nice to have my favorite month of the year kicked off. It's nice to be focusing solely on spooky horror things. The weather's not cooperating with me. It got warm again today.
It did.
I don't like that. I don't like sweating in October. I need all these leaves to fall off the tree. What's going on with the leaves? They're all still up on the trees.
I've been so busy.
Is this that global warming thing people keep talking about? Is that what this is?
That's a myth. If there's such a thing, why do we have an ice age, Nate? Why do we have an ice age?
I never thought about that. That's a really good point.
The dinosaurs.
It makes no sense.
The dinosaurs farted up the globe, and that's why they all died.
Yeah, they want to talk about cow farts destroying like the whole
it was the dinosaur farts.
Just imagine what a dinosaur fart was like. It had to have been way worse back then.
And you know what happened?
Cows ain't nearly as big as a dinosaur.
You know what happened? A deep freeze, and then everything started over, and everything's fine.
Perfect. Now. Sounds good to me. I'll live underground for like a few thousand years or whatever.
Yeah, so
fine.
Who cares? It's just going to get bitter cold here sometime. Whatever. It's going to be like living in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
We got the technology.
Colder by the lake, too, I'm sure.
You saw that train movie?
Always colder by the lake.
That train movie with Captain America?
I did.
Where he's like rocketing through the snow?
Orient Express. I'm not so sure.
It's Snowpiercer, isn't it?
Oh, that's a different movie entirely.
Well, I said rocketing through the snow, and then I realized like, oh, wait, that's just like close to like what the title is.
Piercing the snow.
He's piercing the snow with the train. What's the name of that movie? What's the name of that one?
The name of that movie with the wars that are happening up among the stars.
Yeah.
It's at the tip of my tongue.
Christ's sake, he ate a baby in the movie.
That was a pretty fun movie, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think there's a TV show now.
I don't like the idea of that.
Right. Just a whole show.
Train still going.
Place on a train. Like, come on. What are we doing?
Episode 4, train still going.
Oh, speaking of which, if you guys like train movies, it's Halloween time. Check out that Train to Busan if you haven't watched it yet.
Oh, I think that just hit some sort of new streaming platform recently. I think I saw. Maybe it's on Shudder now or something.
That was a great little movie.
Spread around.
A couple years ago.
Spread around out there.
Just a fun one.
A little Halloween love for you.
Yeah.
Let's get into this first horror-themed action movie that we're going to be covering this month.
Okay.
We're going to get into it during a little segment we call the Rundown here. This is how we do it.
Rundown.
This week, the Rundown is being brought to us by Spirit Halloween. It's where we bought all of our fog machines and spooky cobwebs from.
Right.
Go out to your local dilapidated Circuit City, wherever that is. I'm sure you'll find the Spirit Halloween store. They got everything you're going to need for the season. Buckets of fake blood, like rubber axes or whatever.
Novelty
clown
teeth
wigs.
Galore.
Oh, what you want? You want a hillbilly teeth? You want some
Maybe.
Dracula teeth?
How about a gold tooth?
Gold tooth? You're going to go out as some sort of funny pimp?
Yeah.
Oh, remember in the 90s when we decided that
funny
pimps were like funny and fun and not just like, you know, Women abusing psychopaths. Hey,
forcing women to work in the sex industry is hilarious.
Pretty cool. He's got purple pants on.
Yeah, waka waka.
This rundown is of Dead Heat from 1988. This is a film that has a runtime of 86 minutes. Budget is a mystery. I couldn't find any documentation on that, but hope they didn't spend much because a paltry gross of like a $3,500,000 about somewhere around
gonna
in there.
I was going to guess like $23,000 and change.
Nobody saw this movie, it seems like, at all. It's a cult classic now. The director is Mark Goldblatt, who, not much of a director, more of an editor throughout his career.
He made a pretty big movie right after this.
That's right. I was going to get to that. He did make The Punisher as well.
Thank
the Dolph
you.
Lundgren one.
Hello, Frank. How you been? Busy. Well, I know. Oh, yeah. I'm in charge of the body count. What the hell happened, Frank?
Frank is dead. All right?
Oh, I see. So you, decided everybody else had to be dead too, is that it?
No. If you're guilty, you're dead.
Courts decide who's guilty, not cops. We hereby swear to uphold the law, remember? I've been looking for you for 5 years, man. Why the hell didn't you come to me for help?
I didn't need your help.
You're sick, you know that, don't you? And what the fuck do you call 125 murders in 5 years, huh?
Work in progress.
Thanks.
And one episode of Erie, Indiana, which was
named after
Joe Dante's show, and he started off editing Roger Corman movies, so I'm sure that's the did a lot of Schwarzenegger stuff. Big time editor.
Yeah.
Small little baby dick of a directing career, though.
Yep.
Guess the failure of Dead Heat didn't do him any favors. It couldn't have been The Punisher. Everybody loved that movie. This movie stars Treat Williams as Detective Roger Mortis, which is a funny pun when we get into what's going on in here later. Treat Williams starred in Sidney Lumet's Prince of the City, too much acclaim, but really, you're going to know him as being Xander Drax in The Phantom. Like, that was the peak of his career.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. That or replacing Behringer on the substitute sequels, like we were saying a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's big.
Replacing Behringer ain't nothing to sneeze at.
No, you don't pick just anybody for that.
Joe Piscopo is the co-star here. He's playing Detective Doug Bigelow, who's a real wisecracking idiot.
Mm, true.
You know Joe Piscopo from being the most beloved and widely regarded as the funniest member of Saturday Night Live's cast ever. Mm-hmm. That's everybody's favorite cast from those years.
He's famous.
Piscopo's everybody's favorite guy.
He's famous from that world-famous Sinatra impersonation.
One of the funniest men who's ever lived.
One of the strongest, funniest men that ever lived.
You know, Sinatra really loved that impression from what Joe Piscopo has told everybody in every interview he's ever done for the last 40 years.
I'm surprised they didn't want to talk to him about other things he's
done. Very proud of that one thing he did in his career that people remember.
He was also in those gym commercials. Remember those?
Like some sort of like 24-hour fitness type thing or something?
He was like their
Jared from Subway.
For some kind of gym. And I just remember Christmas commercials with him and a bunch of dwarves.
Oh, God.
And he's like wearing a Santa beard and he's like, hey, I'm Joe Piscopo. Go to this gym. And then he like takes the beard off. And one of the elves is like, you look better with the beard, Joe.
You are an ugly caveman looking person.
Yeah, that's fair.
Get your face out of here.
Lindsay
Frost is playing Randy James, who's the chick in charge of this evil company that's creating zombies in this movie.
Bullshit.
I don't know Lindsay Frost from fucking anything, and I didn't bother looking her up.
I haven't checked to see if you could find her nude online. It looks like there's some like picture that somebody caught at the beach.
Ooh, I'll look at that.
Yeah.
I enjoy a nice perv pic taken on the beach.
Oh, yeah, I'm not above it.
Darren McGavin's in this movie playing a evil scientist type. You remember him as an old man from A Christmas Story.
Mm-mm.
So that's adding a little character actor flavor, but the flavor bomb we're getting is old man in real life, Vincent Price.
Yeah.
Playing Arthur P. Loudermilk, the presumed dead inventor of this process that brings people back to life and turns them into zombies.
And I'm dead.
He looks terrible, Matt.
Oh, he looks terrible.
I hope, because he seemed like he was on death's fucking door.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic, but scream! Scream for your lives! The tingler is loose in this theater, and if you don't scream, it may kill you. Scream! Scream! Keep screaming! Scream for your lives! It's here! It's over here!
Help! 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 Look out, it's under the seat!
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's under the seat!
The tingler has been paralyzed by your screaming. There is no more danger. We will now resume the showing of the movie.
Tagline. That's a good one this week. You can't keep a good cop dead. I like that. I'll watch that movie.
Yeah.
Little plot synopsis here. Flesh this out a little bit more. LAPD police officer Roger Mortis is killed while arresting zombies who have been reanimated by the head of Dante Laboratories in order to carry out violent armed robberies.
Makes perfect sense.
That's really the plot here.
They're resurrecting
people and having them pull off violent armed robberies. So let's get into the bullet points here and dig through our notes and discuss Dead Heat from 1988 a little bit further. Matthew, start us off with the first thing that struck you as you were watching this film.
First thing that struck me was, this film really starts out with a violent armed robbery.
That's right, it does.
Yeah.
That plot synopsis is... That's not like how the movie ends. That's how
you don't
it begins.
Have to wait.
You get a couple of zombies driving a car, putting on burglar masks.
Yeah.
And then they just machine gun a bunch of old ladies in a jewelry store.
Yeah. And then everybody gets machine gunned. And I thought to myself, my gosh, this is excessive.
Yeah, yeah. One of the first things I thought, there's this whole thing. They're machine gunning this jewelry store, smashing and grabbing. One of the ladies triggers the alarm. LAPD's there immediately. This must be a real rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
One of the first thing I was like, all the cops got machine guns.
Well, they said it was down on Melrose Place.
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of problems down there. Billy's cheating on
Gwendolyn.
I thought I was going to be able to come up with another character from Melrose Place, but Billy was the... Kimberly. Kimberly stole Joe's baby. I remember that from the Seinfeld
reference.
There we go.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry Seinfeld.
They got to be strapped down there. Is it illegal for these police officers to have machine guns in the United States? I've never seen that. Like a SWAT team situation.
Yeah.
But these are just like, you know, like beat cops. They've all got machine guns.
Yeah. Some of them have like assault rifles in there.
That's fucking crazy. You got to get rid of that.
Yeah.
This is too much to be going on. Why are we doing that?
You saw Heat. You got to be ready.
I guess that's true. And now that I've seen Dead Heat, which is takes Heat to a whole new level.
Right.
Not only are we in machine gun fights with bank robbers, these guys aren't dropping when we're shooting them.
No.
First thing here, old Joe Piscopo and Treat Williams realizing they show up. We're putting a lot of bullets in these guys, and they're not dropping. Pretty much like a whole city block gets machine gunned into oblivion here.
Pretty much.
Dozens and dozens of uniformed police officers die in front of our faces.
And none of the other cops seem too concerned about it.
This very jokey tone to this whole movie.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a horror movie. It's a little bit of a cop movie, but also really fancying itself as a comedy, this Dead Heat.
What I couldn't understand, since you're bringing up the comedy part, there's a lot of F words in this movie.
Uh-huh.
They say fuck a lot.
That's right.
There's a lot of people getting shot up. A
lot of dirty talk.
Yeah.
From Joe Piscopo mostly.
And pretty much all the jokes are geared towards children?
It's maybe geared towards
children. Or they just
missed
the mark.
Or just so simple that only a child could appreciate them. I'm not sure. Yeah, number one question you got to ask yourself when you're watching Dead Heat is, I think, who is this movie supposed to be for?
Correct.
It's not clear.
No.
It's not clear.
At all.
Hard R rating, horror elements, but nothing legitimately scary.
Nope.
Everything undercut by humor.
Yes.
It's a weird one.
It's like if you made Ernest Scared Stupid with less, more machine guns.
One of my earliest notes more about swearing this first
not
scene
as funny
is
jokes.
Just a grenade just exploded an entire man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, didn't grenade his leg off or something.
No.
Exploded his entire body.
Yeah.
He was obliterated into smithereens.
Yeah.
This is over-the-top violence
Parts
right here.
Parts of him flew everywhere.
Good stuff.
And then Treat Williams smashes a car into the other guy.
200 horsepower. I put it in reverse.
A bumper sandwich, booger lips.
So this is how the plot gets developed here. Yeah, fucking these guys won't fall, but eventually, like, Treat Williams does obliterate one of them with a car.
Right.
So like then they're kind of down. We're taking them over to the morgue. This is one of
Here's the
four locations that we visit over and over again in this shoestring budget of a movie.
Well, they
the
shot
morgue,
it.
We're always going back
they
to the morgue.
They shot it in 37 days, Nate. So, you know.
Damn.
Moving around.
Talk about a smashing grab.
Wasn't really an option there. So.
You think they had any permits to be out there? And they had to have. All this stunt work, all the machine guns and...
I guess maybe it was
a different time. It wasn't so expensive to shoot in L.A. back then.
For two scenes?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Had to get permits for those couple of the car stunts.
Yeah, the one where the ambulance later that we'll get to.
And then the rest of it were all under the table. Everything else about this movie is completely illegitimate.
Yeah, just like, hey, can we shoot outside your house for like 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be quick, I promise.
So when we get to this, we meet the mortician, who's a sexy lady. And she's like,
yeah.
I know these guys. They've been dead in here before. I did autopsies on them. Check it out. They got the full-on, like, why autopsy incisions going on.
Yeah.
This shit is crazy. What's happening?
That's nuts.
And Joe Piscopo is just like, zombies rising from the grave? Quip about how fat my ex-girlfriend is.
Zombie.
Sexually loaded comment at
joke,
the female mortician.
Joke. Hey, I need a hamburger.
Him and Treat Williams just seeing who can out-smug each other. No one is reacting to this appropriately to where if you were to be just a normal LAPD officer and then you realize suddenly that zombies are real.
Yeah.
People are coming back from the dead. Everyone's very nonplussed.
Mm-mm. So they find out and they're like, well, guess we better figure out why.
Yeah, do some detective work. This is where the police...
Which is a good attitude to have.
It's fun, too. The very opening of this movie has kind of had some spooky horror movie music, but then that was just played over the exact same generic helicopter shot of a city that starts out every single cop movie that's ever been made.
Yeah, it looks
so, like, instantly
cool.
You're just like, what the fuck is this movie?
What I'm
hearing and what I'm seeing do not go together.
What is this?
They find out there's, like, some goop... inside the bodies or something, and then some sort of police work leads to being like, well, this chemical company over here has been buying a lot of this goop. We should go investigate them.
They find out that there's some kind of, some kind of chemical that was used in an old sedative or something.
To miss some of these details. And this first act of this movie, one of the few movies I've seen in a long time where I'm thinking about the editing the whole time, because we're just jumping from fucking scene to scene willy-nilly. Like, shit's just moving. Like, it feels like... Actually, it doesn't feel like. There are a couple points in this movie where somebody's mid-sentence and doesn't even finish what they're saying, and we edit up to the next scene.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a quick little jaunt here at the beginning here, but that's not necessarily the case, because things get real bogged down with a bunch of talking scenes later on in the second act there.
So they're like...
We'll talk about that in a minute.
They're like, we better go to this chemical place, and they go to the chemical place, and... dude working the front desk is just looking at a penthouse.
That's right.
Just staring at it.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, we're cops. We want to talk to you. And he just keeps staring at the penthouse.
Yeah.
And I guess this is a joke.
I guess.
Like, the joke is just like, this guy shouldn't be reading a penthouse at his job in the middle of the day.
Pervert. So then they're like, we need to speak with the manager. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right.
Emphasis on man, because there better be a man in charge of this place.
He's like, Randy James.
There's a lot of real sexy shit going on in this movie.
And they're like, Randy James, that's a dude. And then out comes this quote-unquote sexy lady.
Fuck it, this is part of my notes. I feel like you're hammering the exact same thing I'm doing.
They do this slow motion,
super
like,
dramatic
reveal.
Like,
yeah.
First we see Joe Piscopo and Treat Williams' like reaction to what they're seeing coming down the hall. Then we just see some like high-heeled feet and like a slow pan up some long legs up to just some nondescript dress clothes.
Okay.
And then one of the most generic-looking women I've ever seen in my life. I guess she's not unattractive. She looks fine.
You know how I always joke, Nate, that...
You love to joke. I do know that about you.
I am definitely the...
Good time.
I'm the Joe Piscopo to your Treat Williams.
Oh, man. I feel like Joe Piscopo is even making you look good. You're way less obnoxious than Joe Piscopo.
Oh, that might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me. I always like to joke that if you want to get a lady at the bar, tell her she's a high 6, low 7.
That's right, yeah.
And then she's going to be, you know, on your shit the rest of the night.
Absolutely.
This woman right here.
You got a negger.
This woman right here
you're
is
the
very definition
high
of
six,
the high
low
six,
seven.
Low
yeah.
seven.
She might be like the female mean. Just like, who's the most nondescript looking woman you've ever seen in your life? If she committed a crime and you had to explain her to like one of those police sketch artists.
No, no one would ever.
No discernible features. There'd be nothing to tell them. Other
in
than
the wind.
Like, blonde hair. I think she's about like 5'3". That's all I got.
Looked like she had all original appendages.
I keep trying to think of a facial, but I'm just picturing the blank from Dick Tracy for some reason. I just keep getting, the blank keeps popping into
mostly,
my mind.
Mostly.
So this is like,
she was.
We get an interaction with her. It's contemptuous because like Joe Piscopo is a fucking, you know, a misogynist and she's a high-powered executive at this chemical company. So he, like, makes some excuses to trail off, and then Treat Williams is all like, about my partner. And she's like, he's a Neanderthal. And he's like, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a good one or a cool one or something. And this is when I'm first starting to get confused about
friend.
The Joe Piscopo character, because I'm like, are we supposed to be liking his character? Because he seems to me like the most annoying person I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, this dynamic should be, like, Treat Williams is the, like, straight man, and Joe Piscopo is obnoxious, and he's always like, oh, my obnoxious partner I'm dealing with. But all the annoying stuff Joe Piscopo says is always just, like, reacted to people, just like, oh, we like this guy. He's funny and charming, which is insane, because he is not charming.
Their relationship in this movie, the characters they play...
Mm-hmm.
Are the exact same characters from 48 Hours.
Yeah.
But you take away all redeeming qualities of those characters that make them fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have these two.
I had to eventually just pull all the notes I was making about this and put them into one big chunk that just under the subheading, Joe Piscopo is awful. Because everything I was writing down, just like Joe Piscopo's acting, making Nick Cage's choices look subtle.
Yeah.
He's hamming up every single line. He's like winking and mugging, like staring directly into the camera.
Yeah.
Just doing that dumb caveman look, shaking his head, bobbing it around.
Like telling punchlines with that tone that lets you know it's the punchline.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wah, 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 wah. Like,
I hate looking at Joe Piscopo. There's nobody less likable than Joe Piscopo. Joe Piscopo has a weird body. His torso is too small in proportion to his head.
Yeah.
These are just the things I'm writing down as I'm watching this movie.
But he's shredded.
He is looking pretty, pretty good physically in this one. The weird proportions, sure, but you know, got some good mass on those arms, but good definition too.
Those tries are gigantic.
Tries are gigantic. He's got like just a mullet and a leather jacket, which
is
like
cool.
In 1988, that's what was cool. If you had a mullet and a leather jacket, you were cool as fuck. So he's got that working for him.
Yeah.
I wrote down, they literally just cut in the middle of some Joe Piscopo riff that didn't work. They went to the next scene before he hit the punchline.
Yep.
Even the filmmakers are through with him.
Yeah.
Why is Piscopo's gun shoved down the front of his pants? That's not how you should carry a gun. I wrote that down.
It's
a good, like, chunk of the scene where he's just got, like, not like, you know, like in his waistband, but like shoved down the very front of his pants where his dick is.
Well, like the stupidest thing.
It's super weird.
Like, and it's not even like the dumb, like, I'm just going to put this here because it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He has a legit waistline holster.
Yep.
Like you can see the clip.
And he's just cramming it down there.
Yeah, no one puts that
on
there.
His dick.
Like you put those in your back. But
oh,
whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Whatever. You forgot to mention while they're walking around the laboratory, she makes sure to point out the asphyxiation room to them.
This is how they kill dogs. They're experimenting on animals here. Every once in a while, they got to kill a dog.
Why are we showing
so
you this?
They put him in the asphyxiation room.
Why are we showing you this? No reason. Just happen to be part of the tour.
Chekhov's asphyxiation room. Yep. It's going to come back into play later on.
No, no, no way. It's just, we're just showing you it's part of the tour. Pay no attention.
Yeah, a little more plot stuff. Piscopo says he's going to go piss, but what he's really doing is snooping around, and eventually he just gets attacked by this, like, 400-pound zombie biker that's got, like, two faces smushed together to make, like, one face in some weird way.
I didn't really explain
None of it was explained, but it looked cool as fuck. This guy's just huge, and he's throwing Piscopo around. Piscopo's shooting him. Those bullets are sinking into that fat. It's doing nothing.
It was trippy. Watching that guy, that monster biker guy, fight, because he's moving around all crazy and fast.
Sure.
And he's got like two, three faces smushed together.
Quite the athlete under there, whoever it was under there.
Made me feel like I was drunk watching that face move around.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I keep seeing double and
when
shit.
I watched this movie, I was really drunk. So I was like, do I keep falling asleep and then like waking up and missing important? I was like, no. I was getting like UFO abduction lost time while I was watching. So I had to put it on again this morning in the background while I was doing yoga just to be like, make sure I did see all the things that I saw, right? Like,
I had
it all checked out.
I had a good 30-minute heavy-eyed window where I had to just go back and just recommit.
Got to repower through this.
Recommit.
Turns out I wasn't paying any attention whatsoever.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, whatchamacallit. They're fighting Big Biker Man.
Piscopo starts shooting, so Treat Williams hears this shit. He goes running. He can't believe what he's seeing. Yeah. This three-faced Big Biker Man? Oh, no, let me try to help. Instead, he just gets, like, shoved in the asphyxiation room somehow.
Well, don't forget, though, as soon as he goes to help Joe Piscopo, the security guard at the front desk puts the penthouse down and tries to shoot Treat Williams, who's
That's
a cop.
Right. Turns
so
some dirty shit's going
You're
on.
Like, wait a minute.
In addition to them having three-faced 400-pound biker zombies.
Something's not right. Something's not on the level.
Yeah, so, like, the first two zombies we got were just kind of, like, really, really ugly guys.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's just what their faces really looked like.
Yeah, I was like, why are they dirty?
This thing's, like, insane. This is a whole big horror movie makeup rig thing they're doing. And I think all the horror movie makeup looks pretty cool in this movie. I think
it really does.
One of the things that this movie does real good.
Does it real good, like...
Goopy effects, practical shit. It all looks cool. It's not, like, on the level of The Thing or anything. But for a movie that is clearly as cheap as this, I feel like they did a real good job.
Or The Mask.
What about The Mask?
I don't know.
The Jim Carrey movie or...
Either
the Eric Stoltz one.
The Eric Stoltz is the funny one, right?
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, then that one.
Smoking!
So, they gotta fight the biker guy... Treat Williams gets shoved in the asphyxiation room, like you said. And then you think if he just goes in there...
More security guards running in. Joe Piscopo's doing some sweet, like, rolling on the ground and then coming up shooting, blowing people away, which is a cool fucking move.
That is cool. This mysterious hand comes in and starts punching in buttons to turn the asphyxiation room on.
Very mysterious.
And you're like, what? Why is this happening? And then Treat Williams starts dying while Piscopo... beats the shit out of the biker guy.
He's doing a real bad job out of it at this point.
Like, but he finally
Treat Williams is clearly being asphyxiated. Yeah. Piscopo is not paying enough attention to
it. He's just beating the shit out of the biker guy with a fire extinguisher. And then finally he sees, like, oh, man, Treat Williams is dead.
He's banging on the window, asphyxiating. And I couldn't tell here, like, Treat Williams, definitely the best performance in this movie. Like, pretty solid actor all the way through. I've seen him do good things. Man, his acting's terrible in this death scene, though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Yeah. Is he going for laughs here? Like, it's Couldn't so tell. Over the top and cartoony. Am I supposed to be laughing at him dying?
Couldn't tell.
Or is he just doing really bad acting and the director didn't bother to go for another take?
It's, Couldn't tell.
It's really, there's no way to tell. But if you, like, were to ask, like, a little four-year-old to pretend like they were dying, like,
that's what they'd
that's
do.
What they'd be doing, the shit Treat Williams is doing in here.
My favorite thing, though, was, like, Piscopo's banging on that window like, I gotta find a way to break this glass.
Uh-huh.
If I break the glass, maybe he'll survive.
Mm-hmm.
My gun's like 2 feet to the right of me.
And also he was just beating the shit out of that biker with like a gigantic metal fire extinguisher or something, which he then puts down to try and break the glass with his elbow instead. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Piscopo does a horrible job of making sure his partner doesn't die.
Why wouldn't... Yeah. Just shoot it next time, man.
Just some of the worst police work we've seen on this podcast. We see a lot of really terrible work as we're watching these movies.
Made Dirty Harry and Sanchez look like geniuses.
In retrospect, they're looking better and better all along.
Of their idea of just driving around and seeing if they can find that guy. Boy, so old coroner shows up?
Yeah, yada, yada, yada. Somehow the coroner shows up to a crime scene.
Yeah.
I don't... Thought they just stayed in the morgue or whatever, but
no,
I guess not.
No, you call them. They get called to
they
the
get
crime
called
scene.
In? Okay, so she comes to the crime scene and she's like, hey, I'm pretty sure they got a machine that resurrects dead bodies. Let's throw old Tree Williams in it. I know how to use this thing. I'm in charge.
Yeah, I have that
I'm
going
to be
well.
Able to do all this. Like, I learned this at mortuary school. If a reanimator machine ever gets built, like, you're going to want to know how to work it. So here's how you would work it.
She just knew, like, well, I got to put his name in there.
Like, you know, Piscopo even brings up, like, well, we're going to reanimate him and stuff. But what about his soul?
Yeah.
Like, what about his everlasting soul? Like, that gets addressed. And she just waves it off. She's just like, no, I think they figured that out. Let's get him in here and let's turn this thing on.
That's like...
This bitch is fucking crazy.
That's pretty much spot on the explanation she gives. Is like, they took care of that. And it's like, well, that's... Convenient for the sake of this film.
Very convenient. Yeah. And also, like, Tree Williams is the only person that gets brought back with any kind of soul. Everybody else is just, like, automaton, like, growling weird creatures.
They address it later. It has to do
is that
with
during
how
one of the,
quickly...
Like, six different talking scenes that get strung together in the second act, which we're getting here to, which is where this movie loses me in the second act.
It gets revealed in the big ending, so I don't want to give it away just yet.
Oh, boy.
But they do talk about the fact of how long the bodies have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If it's instant...
Okay.
You're pretty
so
much
he was
just the same.
Only dead for like an hour, so he came back doing much more.
If that
biker
brain's...
guy, he had to have been dead for quite a while because he started growing additional faces on his face.
Absolutely.
So that's a sign of death right there.
Yeah. Where do they go now? I don't even know.
At some point, we get revealed that Vincent Price is in this movie because like they're questioning old Randy Moore, and she's like, what's going on with all this shit? What's going on here? And she's like, well, look at this video from my dead father, who's like, I've invented zombies. Now I want you to take over
my... Oh, no, that's right. Piscopo starts illegally searching her house.
Yeah.
Digging through her panties.
Shit's crazy.
And then
finds
a tape.
I mean, I'd definitely be digging through the panties, but like at this point, they're resurrecting the dead.
Yeah.
Like all, you know... By the book shit is out. Yeah. Like, we're not doing real police work anymore.
No.
We got to put a stop to this.
She's like, put the tape down. That's private. And Piscopo's like, oh, yeah? And he goes, there's got to be a tape machine around here somewhere.
That's right, yeah.
Not a VCR, a tape machine.
Well, you know, he's a real meathead idiot.
Yeah. So, yeah, then they find out, like, oh, shit, Vincent Price is in this movie?
Uh-huh. And he looks old.
Yeah, they're like, how do you know Vincent Price? And she's like,
well, he's my father.
Oh, wait,
he's
shoot up.
A straight man
shoot
who had sex with a woman, and then I was born.
I love Vincent Price so much. He's my favorite everything. And what I love the most about Vincent Price is at one point in his life, he was single. And he was out looking for chicks. And I just can't imagine him at a big Hollywood party walking over to Randolph Scott. You know, I think the one in the blue dress really digs me. Pulling aside, I'm in. The lady's got a hard-on for the Priester.
Now I can't tell you anymore because there's people here shooting.
Right. This Randy, she's lying to us throughout this whole movie, it feels like to me. I don't trust her.
Lying bitch.
They all are, Matt.
Oh, boy.
Just ask Piscopo. He'll tell you. That ex-girlfriend
It's a sad state of affairs.
That ex-girlfriend of his that he tries to tell, like, misogynist jokes about three or four times, but only gets a punchline, like, one out of the three.
I know the one you're talking about. It's, like, egregious. Like, he's in the back of the car, and
something
they're in the front
about,
of the car.
Something about, like, multiplying something by his ex-girlfriend's
square root of my
weight.
Ex
and then it's
wife's
like,
weight.
You would get whatever the punchline this is going to be, but no, they legitimately just cut away. Just like, what he said wasn't funny.
And we thank
move
them
it along.
So her place gets shot up by two brain-dead zombies, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. They're out by the pool sneaking around with machine guns. And I'm like, this is the first time I've ever seen a zombie sneak in a movie, I think. They're doing a real good job of tippy-toeing around
different
in that.
Different kind of zombies, man.
Different kind of zombies. It's unique.
Yeah. So they shoot the place up, and Treat Williams and Piscopo are like, well, we got to kill these zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do.
Yeah. This is when Piscopo is like, there's like a big fight in a hot tub between Treat Williams and one of these other zombies.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you were under that water for over 5 minutes. And I'm like, no, he wasn't. That whole scene lasted like 45 seconds. And Treat Williams is like, oh, yeah, yeah. I guess I was underwater for like 5 minutes. And Piscopo gives a little smirk and a wink. And he looks directly into the camera. And he's like, I wish you could teach my girlfriend to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so it's just a joke you wanted to say.
Right.
So we're just going to pretend like he was under the water for 5 minutes, something that didn't happen, so Piscopo could tell another gross sex joke.
About a joke about him getting a blowjob underwater.
And also,
that's the joke.
He does not have a girlfriend.
No.
We would have seen her at some point in this movie.
Correct.
This happens over the span of like weeks.
We would have established.
We would have seen his home life at some point.
Yeah.
This guy's single.
Single.
Fucking liar.
As hell.
So how do we get to the Chinese butcher shop? Because
I don't remember, man.
The centerpiece of this movie is the fucking Chinese butcher shop. It's one of the coolest scenes I've seen in a long ass time.
Oh, they find out that the drug that was in the bodies was also getting sent to other places.
Yeah.
From Dante Labs.
Dante Labs is in cahoots with an old Chinese man in some way. Maybe he's just like a courier or something.
Mr. Thule.
Also, what's going on? They keep talking about the drug, but then when they reanimate things, it's not pumping a drug into them. It's hitting it with lightning. What's the process here? I wish I knew.
Don't.
I wish I had taken the same classes
that
the mortician girl.
Do you not know?
Nah, I wasn't paying that much attention.
All right, I'll get to it later. I can't give it away yet.
Okay,
we
got some more mysteries creeping up. But yeah, eventually they're coming and looking for this guy who's involved in this in some way. So they got to go to his creepy old Chinese butcher shop where
Mr. Thule,
Professor Tanaka, former WWF tag champions, just in there like shirtless meat cleaver and chickens and like the dirtiest, grossest, most unhygienic butchering area you're ever going to see. It's fucking awesome because, you know,
great. They're
trying to strong arm him. Like, oh, I'm Joe Piscopo. This is my zombie friend, Treat Williams. He's like, I ain't fucking afraid. Fucking old crazy man comes out and he's just like, we're going to start doing the reanimated lightning thing going on in here.
Yeah, I got one of those built here too.
They flick that thing on. They got a second one in his butcher shop.
Yeah,
and
you're like, who cares? Nobody's dead.
The butchered stuff starts coming alive.
What?
This like bloody pig starts wrestling Joe Piscopo on the ground.
Oh, man.
This like big liver or something just flings itself at Treat Williams and is suffocating him like a blob.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what that
was. Little like boiling duck heads and the duck heads are coming alive and stuff.
Yeah.
The eggs just start exploding in the refrigerator. What an egg would do is, I don't know.
That's what happens to him in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's true.
At Dana's apartment.
Anytime there's something supernatural going on, eggs start exploding.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, a whole, like, butchered steer comes, like, kicking out of the walk-in cooler. And now they got to fight a gigantic fucking cow. And he's crushing people.
Which was easier
than
Piscopo fighting a pig.
That pig was very bloody. It's like trying to wrestle a greased-up pig. It's not easy to do.
Yeah.
He does blow its brains out, though, with his gun, which is fucking cool.
I think I'm done with meat. I'm
going to
be a vegetarian.
He's got a quip for everything.
Yeah.
There's literally like not a sentence Joe Piscopo's character says in this movie that isn't a quip of some sort. He has no normal lines, just like, yes, I believe it's over here, or like, we're supposed to be there at 2:30. Right. Every line is a fucking
2:30. Time to go see the dentist.
Yeah.
5 Adam 38, please respond.
5 Adam 38, what?
211 in progress at Melrose Place. Proceed immediately.
You didn't say may I.
You're under arrest. You have the right to remain disgusting.
Flippant and tasteless verbal remarks.
That was me. Fine man, Captain Mayberry. Make a really good gym teacher.
Just be glad we're still employed.
Call me Thursday. I love this job, Roger. I love the power. I love the little badges. I love being a human target for anyone within sniping range of a donut shop.
Asshole.
I beg your pardon.
It's fascinating.
Yes, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt your erection, pal, but we'd like to speak with the management of this facility.
Come back.
Tampons, hemorrhoid cream, stuff for crabs. Hello.
Hi.
I do some research, Roger.
Right this way, gentlemen. All of our products are thoroughly tested before release to the general public.
Great, the dog gets skin cancer, so we don't have to.
Didn't I see one of these at Disneyland?
You know, Miss James, I gotta take a leak so bad my teeth are floating. Is there a little boys' room around here? I just got pee-pee.
What is this thing? Very ugly!
Becky, we've both seen this guy shit-faced. He's looked a hell of a lot worse.
Brings out your eyes.
Missed the spot.
Where?
Right there.
Don't touch it. I almost got it straight here.
I love it when you get angry. Extra patties. Dead giveaway. We have something on the monitor, Captain.
That's really disgusting. Roger, you were underwater in that jacuzzi for 5 straight minutes. That's right, I was.
Did you teach my girlfriend how to do that? Use human leftovers to rob jewelry stores. Something for that unexpected overnight guest, Miss Jane? Listen, Mongo, we're cops, and if Thule's not out here in 10 seconds, we're gonna kick some honorable ass. You ought to write fortune cookies, pal.
That's it. From now on, I'm a vegetarian.
How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
That's gross.
Okay, now I'm gonna puke.
You know, you can never find anything good until you really trash a place.
This could replace the whoopee cushion.
Oh, this is what a library looks like, huh? You know, I've never seen one of these things from the inside.
They all sound like a bunch of wussies to me.
Not only that, if you multiply the population of Rhode Island by the square root of my ex-wife's weight.
But yeah, this scene, a lot of fun. All the creature feature shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
All the dead animals moving.
That's right.
Looks good.
Yeah.
It's all puppeted and gimmicked and looks right.
Gets over. They kill all these things. It's a cool scene. And then Treat Williams gets to deliver my favorite line in the movie when old girl's back. And she's just like, oh, Roger Mortis, you've been hurt. And he just goes, lady, I'm fucking dead.
Yeah.
He really delivers the hell out of that line.
He means it when he says it.
I think Treat Williams gets cooler and cooler as this movie goes on. I wasn't
dead.
So certain about his character at the beginning.
I was
going
to say that.
But then, like, he just keeps getting
earlier,
cooler and cooler.
He
Piscopo's
starts off,
just fucking annoying the whole movie.
Yeah, he starts off the movie as, like, a real drip, just being like, Piscopo, like, quit eating in the car. We got to go do police work.
That's what I really,
Piscopo,
yeah.
Piscopo, like, they're
thought
calling
they
for
were
us
setting
on the radio.
Up, like, a, you know,
you got to call for them
odd
on the radio.
Couple dynamic. It really felt like they were and they should be, but then there isn't really, like, they're kind of just both friends and like each other and nobody's annoyed by the other one. And it's weird. I don't really buy their relationship. I think what happens is that Piscopo gets killed here and he disappears from the movie for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whew, this is a real breather. Just getting to hang out with only Treat Williams at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm starting like, oh, I'm starting to like this guy. Because what's going on? They go back to Randy's house or something and they just find Piscopo hung upside down with his head in a fish tank.
They find like, shit, what do they find? They find a bunch of like...
I was not following how this movie was getting from scene to scene.
I'm going to speed through some stuff because there's so much like weird shit that strings
along.
This
is the middle string where it's just like explaining things. Action stops. We get a bunch of talking scenes in a row. Like,
they go to
some mysteries start to get developed. And I'm like, I don't need any fucking mysteries in this movie.
So they go to Mr. Thule's. They fight the dead animals. Then they find a piece of paper that's got initials and dates, and they're like, what could
Ooh,
this
a
be?
Clue. Let's decode a clue.
They finally realize...
This is a fucking zombie buddy cop movie. We don't need clues.
Right. They finally realize that the last one on there is Vincent Price's character, Randy's dad. So they're like, well, let's go to the library. We're going to look up all the dates and look at the obituaries. And they start finding out that it's all rich people. They, for whatever reason, they're worried about dead rich people.
Right.
And so they're like, well, let's figure out what this means. Let's split up. Randy, you and I are going to go back to your place, and Joe Piscopo is going to go God knows where. They never really explained
it. No, he just shows up dead. And I was like, what was he even doing? I can't remember the last thing he was doing.
I forget what he was supposed to be doing, but he was going to meet them at Randy's.
Right,
and so, like,
right.
They go in there, and then, like, they realize.
They
like,
walk in
they're like,
to
man,
find
where's,
his partner
be here
and
already.
Best friend, I guess, just completely bloated. He's clearly been drowned and dead for a long time.
Yeah.
And once again, there's not much of a reaction to it. It's just like, oh, shit, Joe Piscopo's dead. Well, that's another plot point for this movie, I guess. Anyways, moving along. And then we start getting, like, she takes a shower.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, we going to get some titties thrown in this movie now? Just like, we're going to shrug the whole one of our main characters has just been killed thing under the rug here and get some titties?
We did not.
We kind of do.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
This is when we start realizing some shit. She's just like, I've been lying to you. Yeah. Like, Vincent Price is not my dad.
Yeah.
It turns out I was dead, too. I've been in the same machine you have. And then she's just like, and fuck, man, like, it don't last a long time. This shit's temporary. And then we get more awesome horror movie stuff
where
her whole body just starts disintegrating.
Yeah, but now here's the thing. That drug that they're sending out to people, I think that's the drug that keeps you from dying in
the
10-12
hours.
The
lightning reanimates you, but then you need the drug if the shit's not going to fall apart.
Right.
Lady stopped getting the drug, so now she's done for.
Right.
Her arm turns all black and it falls off.
Yeah, this
she's
seems
in a towel,
badass.
So then she falls out of her towel and we get some great, like, rotting
dead corpse
dead
titty
for seconds. Yeah. I was like, all right, that's not a real titty, but at least we got some, like, it's kind of like the robo titties from class of 99 last week. Like, we're not flashing a real pair, but at least we're getting, like, a rubber proximity in some sort of cool special effect way.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take what I can get. I'm begging at this point.
And her head falls off.
Yeah, and her fucking head falls off.
That's really cool.
And it's like a all just like the creep show ghoul guy at this point. It's all like skeleton-y, but she's still talking to Treat Williams.
Man, when her face starts melting, though, like, and she's still talking, like, and it's clearly just like makeup.
Yeah, it looks
God,
real cool.
It looks good.
But then it goes to like an animatronic sort of like cartoony skeleton talking after that. I'm like, well, that didn't look as cool as the melting part.
No, not quite, but I'll still give it credit.
Oh, absolutely.
So Treat Williams is like, well, I'm really close to dying now, too.
Mm-hmm. This whole time, I've been having 12 hours to try and find the mysterious guy who punched in those asphyxiation machine numbers so I could take him down.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, his whole goal is to just figure out who killed him. He doesn't really care about this whole crime thing that's unfolding.
That
he just
old noir
wants to know who killed him.
Where, like, DOA, I think it's called, where the guy's, like, injected with, like,
the poison.
The radioactive stuff, and, like, he's got a ticking clock. That's a movie done very well. Where, like, they set up a ticking clock, and then, like, tension is built.
Yeah.
This just keeps telling us, like, that's his goal, but then, like, there's no real, like, driving forward momentum to the story. We're just going from place to place for no reason, cracking jokes. He's not really concerned about this until we got to wrap things up. And then suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to be on like a real serious time crunch mission here.
Oh, that's right. They split up because he and Randy initially went to Vincent Price's grave to see if they could find anything.
Quote unquote.
And he found numbers. And so, like, Piscopo's dead. Randy's dead. He was looking really bad in the shower. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing, he goes back out to the living room and he looks fine.
Yeah.
And he, like, cracks the code and he's like, Eureka, I know who it is. And then the next scene, he looks like he's about to die. And
very similar
to, like,
too.
What are they doing with
early
the makeup
in the movie
here?
When he first comes back as a zombie and he goes and he buys some lady's lipstick to like make himself look less like a corpse. And then in the next scene, like,
he's
Randy's
fine.
Talking about it. She's like, oh, we got good cop, bad cop right here. You're the tough one. You're the one who's wearing lipstick. And I'm like, but the lipstick's not on his face anymore.
Yeah.
His face had lipstick on it in the previous scene, but right now it's gone, and you're talking about it as if it's still there.
Yeah.
This movie's fucking gaslighting me right and left.
Yeah, it's hard to say what's what.
It's real unconcerned with having the things it's telling you match up with what your eyeballs are seeing.
He figured out that the number code was Body Doc, which is the license plate of the dad from Christmas Story.
Yeah, if I was a doctor, I'd definitely get that as a license plate. That's cool as fuck.
And so he's like, well, I just figured out who it is. I'm going to go kill him now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes and he's like, hey, buddy, you're a bad guy. And he's like,
and
well,
I'm a zombie.
You know, don't kill me.
Now, has he gotten in that car crash and got his face messed up real bad yet at this point?
No, because he goes to Body Doc's place and he's like, I got you now, pal. And he's like, the fuck you do? I got more dead guys than I got Mr. Thule here
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, P.S. We also killed your friend, the female morgue girl.
Damn it. They're killing everybody.
Just because there
movie.
Was a loose end and we didn't know what to do. So big reveal. She's dead in the back of the ambulance. Uh-huh. It's a soundproof steel ambulance by design.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to handcuff you in there, and you're just going to turn into a puddle in 45
it's like a
minutes.
Mobile asphyxiation chamber, kind of.
Oh, oh, wow. Good call. So he's like, I'm just going to handcuff you in here. You're going to turn into a puddle. And he's like, not if I kick the ambulance into gear and let it roll down this San Francisco hill, even though we're in Los Angeles.
Right.
And he gets really weirdly excited and aroused by it. He's like, here we go, or something along those
definitely.
Lines.
It's, I felt like it was very similar to the car scene from Class of 1999 when the old gym coach, the guy from Death Warrant, is just like, I hate water, driving my car off the bridge.
There was a lot like that.
A lot of just weird shit going on in these movies. People reacting to things in the complete opposite way that any sort of human being you've ever met in your life would be acting.
Yeah. So since the ambulance was rolling, it hit another car and that car started rolling. And since that car started rolling, just people driving just started crashing.
That's right.
For no reason.
You get a big pile up, and now Treat Williams, like half of his face is kind of tore off for the rest of the movie. He's just rolling around with like gore makeup on. And I'm just like, this is getting cooler and cooler.
Yeah, the ambulance hits like four cars and explodes for no reason and flips on its side.
God,
yeah, like,
things explode for no reason.
You're like, what was his plan? What's the end game here? And then they show like the bodies getting carried away. And then his body bag just opens up and everybody's like, ghost.
That's right.
And he's like, not just any ghost. I'm a detective ghost.
More of like a zombie, though. Or maybe a Frankenstein.
Yeah. Probably.
So I guess what's the dividing line between a zombie and a Frankenstein?
That's a really good point.
I think maybe lightning involved in the resurrection process is...
Well, also Frankenstein's monster is made up of multiple people's body parts.
That's true, yeah.
Whereas this is just reanimating one corpse.
I think he's somewhere in between a zombie and a Frankenstein.
He's a reanimator.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, I need...
Cooler goop and reanimator, though. Yeah, I like how they got that bright green Secret of the Ooze goop that's doing all the reanimating.
That's fair. So he's like, hey, let me get your motorcycle. I got to kill a guy. And they're like, none of us are going to stop you. This is weird, but go ahead. And so then he just drives.
None of us are really reacting to a zombie the way that it seems like people would if a reanimated corpse was walking and talking.
Right. So he just goes back to that Dante Industries.
And this is when finally everything just climaxes.
Yeah.
And so, okay, this is when it's cool. This is when the movie starts getting real good. Because we reveal that like, I'm Vincent Price. I'm talking like this instead of in a real Vincent Price voice. I don't know why I was doing that.
First.
He reveals that he's like alive. We thought he was dead. He's got a bunch of rich old assholes around. And he's like, give me all your money and we're going to live forever. As he's giving this big speech, Treat Williams is just casually walking through the place, blowing people away with a fucking machine gun, just being all casual and cool about it, which is awesome.
Well, he does the coolest thing ever. He's got the motorcycle, and he's like, oh, they got a chain. I can't get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to drive the motorcycle into the chain as fast as I possibly can, launching my body through the locked glass doors, sliding 20 feet across the floor and shooting people while I do it.
He's fully embraced being a zombie. He's just going to let his body get torn to shreds. He does not fucking care. Man on a mission. Coming after the dad from A Christmas Story. I'm going to take you out, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Then we get another little little twist to the story, though. We reveal that Joe Piscopo has been reanimated by the evil people. And they're like, now your best friend's a dumb idiot zombie, and he's going to kill you.
It was a big business meeting. They had all these rich people there
to be like... Our two partners are fighting now, Matt.
They're like, look, Vincent Price isn't dead, and you can't be dead either if you give us your money or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah. But hey, here's Joe Piscopo. And they're like, oh, well, cool. He's my friend.
Yeah.
And then that's when the doctor's
like
the doctor's like, no, he's not your friend because he's been dead for a while.
His brain's destroyed.
His brain's dead.
Full retard at this point.
And then
he does whatever I tell him.
And then our guy Treat Williams is like, no, it's not.
This is real weird here where Piscopo like comes and he's got Treat Williams by the neck and like we get one of those dramatic like got to snap the person who's brainwashed out of it things you get in a lot of these action movies. So he goes back to the moment where they bought him the lipstick and he's like, remember me? Lipstick? You made that, you know, anti-gay quip about how it brings out the color of my eyes in a real flamboyant voice.
And he even tries to do the voice while he's getting choked out.
And then Piscopo's like, lipstick? That's right.
I do hate this gays.
Inconsequential moment that happened. That's like they couldn't have established something else, like some other like big moment these fucking partners on the police force have shared earlier on to have that be the thing that snaps him out of it.
You reminded me of the most important thing that makes me me, and that's that I hate gays.
That's right. So now my brain isn't destroyed. My extreme homophobia has snapped me back. My personality's back. I'm not a growling monster. I'm full on quipping again.
Yeah.
He just immediately turns back into a normal dude and starts quipping.
So they get the drop on old...
It's a little shaky at this point. I don't know if I'm buying everything they're throwing at me.
They get the drop on old Body Doc, and they're like, we're about to kill you. Mm-hmm. And Body Doc's like, not if I kill myself first, motherfucker.
Grabs a gun real quick, just blows his fucking head off.
Which is awesome. I
didn't see that coming.
And then Treat Williams, what's he? He's like, oh, God, I think I fucking wrote it down here. Oh, yeah. Damn you, McNabb. You cheated me.
Yeah, he keeps yelling about how he's been cheated, because this whole movie's been about him trying to get his revenge against his murderer. And now... He doesn't even get to. The guy blew his own fucking head off.
But him and Piscopo realize, dude blew his head off.
What's the whole concept of this movie, man?
That's right. Blew his head off on top of a reanimator machine.
We got a
machine.
Frankenstein machine. We could just bring him back alive and kill him again.
So they do.
But yeah, I thought they were going to like torture him or something. So they could be like real sadistic. But really, they just blow him up in the reanimator machine.
Yeah, he's
which
like,
they explain
happens?
Like, this is what happens when you reanimate somebody
twice. Person's reanimated and he's like, no, explosion.
Yeah, but it looks real cool. Like he full on explodes. You get like blood and guts fly everywhere. Yeah. It's real gross and real goopy.
And they're like, we're done here. And Vincent Price is like, you idiots.
No.
You're ruining the machine.
The machine's going to be broken. I'll give you jewels.
Save the machine. How come he looks worse in this than he does in Edward Scissorhands?
I was trying to think of like what
like
else from the era
later.
I might have been able to see him from, but yeah, and he is even playing a dying man in that small role in that.
Yeah.
And, looks worse in this movie. Yeah, I don't know. 88, rough year for old Vinnie Price.
I guess so.
He adds a lot of personality and flair to this movie, though. I love that they brought that fucking horror legend out to tie this into horror movies a little bit more with his presence.
Any,
he elevates things. He talks weird. It's
legendary
funny.
Legendary whore is all right with me. So he's like, save the machine. There's money to be made. And they
don't care. They machine gun.
Yeah. And just
shoot
up everything.
They give each other like a cool look. Like he wants us to save it.
Watch
we're fucking
this.
Cool guys.
You know who you're
authority,
talking to?
Right?
A couple of cool guys.
It's been established throughout this movie. We're fucking cool guys.
So at this point, the building's just filled with smoke, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they just walk through it and
that's
make
right.
quips and
quipping until the very end.
Then we go to the credits.
Well, before that, we get the final quip, which is my fucking favorite gross thing Piscopo says in the whole movie.
Well, I might
He's
have
like,
been
what do you
out
think's gonna
here?
Happen to us when we die? Do we get resurrected or just like reincarnation?
Oh
real?
Yeah.
And it's like they're walking away to heaven, and he's like, maybe you come back as like a great politician or blah blah blah. Piscopo is like, you know what? I hope I come back as the seat of a girl's bike. And then the movie's like, that's how we choose to end on that line. It's all been built
Hope I
up.
Come back as a girl's bicycle seat.
And then one last final surprise is that over the end credits, we get a Dead Heat song, which always fucking elevates a movie for me. Anytime you get a song that's like has the title of the movie in
we
the
wrote
song.
This
like,
song about the movie for you.
Fucking hell yeah. I'm killing it. Piscopo says
Philip somebody
one last gross thing about pussy. We get a cool fucking Dead Heat song. And I'm like, well, you know, it was a little bit shaky throughout. But stuck the landing.
Also, he says a girl's bicycle seat and not like a woman's bicycle seat.
Oh, no.
That's, you know.
This is a fantasy. He's choosing the girls. Why would you be stuck with a woman? There's no morality in this world.
I can't be brought in as a pederast if I'm a bike.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, I just want to be... I'm not
live the dream.
That, yeah.
Live the dream. Let's cut this off before we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah, that's the kind of audio that comes back to haunt you someday.
Do some coming attractions. What else is happening this spooktacular as October goes? And we'll come back for some Judgment Day.
Of years they have existed among us.
You keep your eyes open, they're everywhere. Chances are you've seen them yourself and didn't know it.
A secret nation.
Our livelihood depends on our ability to blend in.
With a lust for power.
We should be ruling the humans. These people are our food.
They've got their claws into everything. Politics, finance, real estate.
There's a war going on out there.
He makes the weapons, I use them.
Now, one will lead them to conquer mankind.
Tonight, the age of man comes to an end.
We're gonna be gods.
And one will try to stop him dead.
There are worse things out tonight than vampires.
Like what?
Like me.
Half human.
Blade's mother was attacked by a vampire while she was pregnant.
Half immortal.
You got the best of both worlds. All our strengths, none of our weaknesses.
He is their greatest fear and our only hope.
It's open season on all vampires.
Wesley Snipes. Stephen Dorff.
You're one of them, aren't you?
No. I'm something else.
You have the right to remain silent.
He's still alive.
Forever. Again.
You can't kill the dead.
Why has this been kept from the public and the press?
When this leaks out, people are not going to want to pick up the phone and dial 911. We're looking at a bloodbath here.
Let us help you, sir.
I touched his hand, and I was back there again, with the dead.
What's he want?
I don't know!
What'd you see?
Sean, I saw Matt Cordell.
He had a reason for coming here. He's got a reason for everything he does.
Did you ever see anything so nasty?
Cordell's gonna pay you a visit, and you'll see him.
Getting stronger because we got ourselves a leader.
All the cops in the world can't stop Cordell.
You murdered him. You're pushing me too far.
Maniac Cop 2. You'll be screaming blue murder.
Our Christmas is coming up.
The goose is getting fat?
No.
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 That we were just singing that song.
Oh, Music Box of Horrors.
Please put a penny in that old man's hat. You know that song? Nope. It's got weird lyrics.
Never heard
weird
it.
Lyrics. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat.
I think you're...
Please put a penny in the old man's hat.
I think...
The fuck does that shit mean?
I think you're thinking about Dominic the Christmas Donkey.
No, I definitely know what that means. This sounds to me like one of those things that, like, I think most of those weird shit just came out of the plague. Like, you find out all the songs from back then, it's like, oh, no, it was all a metaphor for everyone dying in the plague. And it's like, oh, okay.
You put the...
You say so. They'd always put a penny in a hat to let you know that, like, I don't know.
That these bodies were okay to take from your curb. Right,
exactly.
Yeah, they're not. That guy's not sleeping. He's
maybe
dead.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's paying the death wagon guy who came around, at least in Monty Python.
You're always paying the death wagon guy.
Yeah, Music Box of Horrors is coming up on the 19th at our old favorite haunt, the Music Box Theater in Chicago. Yeah. But then what was announced the other day when they put out their fall is the next Sunday, the 27th, they're doing Halloween 78, Halloween 2018 double feature. I think I'm going to show up for that shit too, because I always got to get a Halloween viewing in, so why not do it in a big, beautiful theater that's going to be all decked out with
that's
like...
That's on a Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday the 27th. So apparently they're going to, you know, have some shit there. Some company's putting together a pop-up or something. A lot of good Halloween stuff coming up.
Yeah.
24-hour horror marathon.
Hey, real quick.
Halloween double features.
Before we try to speed through it at the end here, what number episode is this?
This is episode 99.
So next week's 100, huh?
Next week's 100. I got a big party planned for it, Matt.
Nice.
A big party.
I want to encourage anybody that listens to this shit,
You
know, take us to Judgment Day. Give us some reviews.
Yeah, that's right.
Let us know what you think. Give us a rating.
Go to Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
iTunes isn't a thing anymore, apparently.
Try to... Oh, no.
100th episode, tell a friend. You got homework. Everybody's got to tell a friend.
Yeah, or just message us.
Who do you know that likes action movies?
On a social platform.
Probably somebody.
Talk shit to us. We like to hear that kind
of
stuff.
Talk shit to Matt. I'm very sensitive.
Okay. I've got broad shoulders. I can take it.
I've got a broad ass.
You do.
I could take a lot too, but other sorts of things.
A working man's ass. Let's Judgment Day it up.
Dead Heat. I found a couple of one bullet reviews out there on the internet. I found a couple of five bullet reviews. We're going to see what people think of it.
I find the latter statement hard to believe.
This first one bullet review is from an IMDb user whose name is Chess-2.
Chess?
It's like chess, like the game, only just one S, not the two S's, so I don't know. Who knows what that means? Oh boy, Chess, though, says, I attended a test screening of this film at UC San Diego. Every couple months, a film would test screen, and a bunch of marketing mooks from the studio, armed with clipboards, would hand out questionnaire after the film. Well, after most films. This was one of the worst films I'd ever seen. The gags are pathetic and unfunny. Who knows what they were smoking when they made this turkey? But it is a very, very bad movie with no redeeming qualities whatsoever. There's really no kind way to put it, Matt. He didn't say Matt. I added that in. There's a little emphasis.
Be I thought weird he was if he talking predicted, to me for a second.
Predicted you listening to this. About halfway through the screening, somebody shouted, "This movie sucks," which got a
That's
huge laugh
funny.
And applause. It went downhill from there. Catcalls left and right. I've never seen an audience turn on a film so harshly before. The studio guys didn't bother polling people at the end. I'm assuming it went straight to video because I don't recall seeing a theatrical run. It's not true. It made $3.5 million, I'll have
Duh.
You know. Chess 1 from IMDb gives it one bullet. One more one bullet review I found also on IMDb. This is from a user named Muh. Like meh, but with a U.
Huh.
Muh says... The only people giving this movie a good review are the ones who grew up with it and can't see past nostalgia. Because this movie is lame, unfunny sludge. Every action movie in the 80s had to be a buddy cop movie. So the writer said, we'll make one dead, and left it at that. Treat Williams as solid as always, but Piscopo is just awful. No one was unfunnier than him. Anyone went on to have a nice failed career, as he deserved. Apparently they didn't see those gym commercials you did.
Wow.
The director went back to editing movies because he really proved the Peter principle on this one.
Hmm?
I don't know what the Peter principle is. I'm going to have to bing that. By the way, Tarantino has told the story about how the director, Mark Goldblatt, had told him his ideas wouldn't work. Just goes to show the guy can't direct or give advice about directing. What a hack. What a dumb movie. One bullet from IMDb user, Muh. Apparently, Tarantino's talking on a turn.
I was going to say.
The director of The Punisher.
Wow.
Seems weird to me because Tarantino's always got that, like, you know, sort of contrarian opinion every year when he, like, announces what his favorite movie of the year is, and it's always just, like, some piece of shit. Seems like the Dolph Lundgren Punisher should be on his list.
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of negativity out there about this movie, not gonna lie, but there
are a small, dedicated group
of people who love this movie. First one of them is an IMDb user named Treat, who gives this five bullets. We'll read this and we'll see what we think by the end of it.
Old Trick or Treat Williams.
Face it, any movie with two resurrected zombies shooting oozies at each other for 5 minutes straight is a one-of-a-kind, groundbreaking movie. That was a cool part at the end when him and that other guy is just unloading whole clips in each other.
Yeah.
From the opening credits to the closing theme song, this movie is a barrage of bad taste mixed with the witty one-liners only Treat Williams can deliver.
Wow, not even
of course,
Piscopo, huh?
His godliness is amazingly complimented by the performance of none other than Joe Piscopo of SNL fame. With these two together, and with Piscopo improvising all his lines, this movie is worthy of the Oscars. If the Oscars had a category for the all-time dumbest and yet greatest movie of all time, taking this movie seriously cannot be done, or you will miss the brilliance of it. If you see this movie in the action section of your local video rental place, please remind them that it should be under comedy. Supporting actors, being Vincent Price and Darren McGavin, make this a star-studded cast that they will probably regret for the rest of their acting careers. Taking into account all the gore and violence depicted in this film, it's hard to imagine this is an edited version of a former cut that was rated X. Not because of nudity, but because of excessive, gratuitous, disgusting displays throughout the film. By the way, do not miss the Chinatown scene. This is something you have never seen before and will likely never see again. Plus a stunning performance by, of course, Treat Williams, who has the best one-liner on the face of the planet, and it's in this film, a definite must-see. Five bullets from Treat. Maybe Treat Williams? Maybe Tree Williams reviewing his own movies on IMDb.
I don't think he's too busy these days.
He hasn't been the dad on Everwood for like a good 10 years now.
I think he's
something that's the last thing I remember him being
still
on.
Still doing TV. I think he's on some kind of like congressman show or some shit.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully he's not writing this review.
Hopefully he
next five
is.
Bullet review, not from somebody who starred in the film. This is from Letterboxd user Dan Finn.
Oh.
He says, the Williams-Piscopo combo will not be defeated. This movie just goes for it. These dickholes are killing people, then reanimating them, and Treat Williams dies, then gets reanimated. But it's okay, because he's a cop. While he decays, he tries to find out who the dickholes are, and it's really great. There are lots of decaying zombie henchmen, and Lindsay Frost helps out, too. Joe Piscopo is mostly pretty funny. Treat Williams wins for being cool in the face of imminent doom. It has its own theme song, which elevates it to five-star status. Super bonus Robert Picardo with a mustache scene. Five bullets from Letterboxd user Dan Finn.
You also get a Shane Black in this movie.
That's true. Written by Shane Black's brother, I think, this film.
Terry Black?
Maybe. I was going to say Trevor. It's something with a T.
It could be Terry.
Yeah. Let's get into your final thoughts and your bullet rating for Dead Heat, our first action horror of our action spooktacular October 2019.
Take a big pull off that long
little
branch.
Liquid courage.
From the fine folks at Wild Turkey. I'd never seen this movie in my life.
I had once. This is my second viewing. Didn't remember it well.
I didn't remember this movie ever existing.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
Didn't remember that anybody ever had the idea to put Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo in a movie together.
Crazy that it only happened once.
And that somebody actually wanted them to make a sequel of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to which the writer said, we killed all the main characters at the end of the movie. And the studio said,
"That's fine."
Studio said, "You got a reanimation machine in your movie. Figure it out."
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. I read the tagline to this.
Uh-huh.
Did a little sleuthing before I even watched it.
Okay.
And
binging all over the.
I got excited. Uh-huh. I was like, that kinda,
sounds pretty promising.
Like, yeah, this could be like dumb good
buddy cop movie. This could and be a good zombie time. Horror element.
You know, it's like one of my it's favorite unique. Movies of all time. R.I.P.D.
Where's the sequel to that?
Amen.
Are we gonna get an R.I.P.D. 2 or what?
We should. This movie underdelivered.
Yeah,
a lot. Yeah. In a lot of ways, kind of felt in a same. Lot of things. There's some great campy horror, gore, schlock mm-hmm. that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't argue that.
That's right.
And I feel like a part of me wants to give it two bullets and almost say that it's watchable.
Okay.
But it's not. It's a bullet and a half.
One bullet and a half?
One and one halves bullets.
It's pretty rough.
Because it's a pretty rough movie.
Pretty rough movie. I agree. It is a pretty rough movie. It is a bad movie. And if it was just bad, that'd be fine. Because it's also right. fun. But it's also got Joe Piscopo in it being terrible. He's yeah. just terrible.
Yeah.
He's unfunny through the whole thing. He's unlikable through the whole thing.
Not to take away from you. But you ever just like think about Joe Piscopo sometimes and like... You know that you didn't think he was funny.
Uh-huh.
And then every, like, sometimes I think to myself, like, well, maybe I was just too young.
Right.
Maybe I got to give him a second chance.
I didn't get
chance.
What he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He's no. not funny.
He's just some jock who somehow stumbled his way into SNL. Like, I tried to, like, bing him a little bit before this just to be like, yeah. how, what did he do? Did he, like, come out of the Groundlings or what? I could find nothing. Mm-mm. I don't know how Joe Piscopo ended up on that, like, Lorne Michaels free dead years of Saturday Night Live cast. I have no idea where he came from.
Probably just threatened to beat him up.
But this is just a horrible trend in the 1980s where we just, especially in a lot of these cop movies, where we just get a smug white male character who's just smug and dickish. But instead of like being treated like an asshole, like
yeah.
it's the Reagan era. Everybody's like, no, white smug guys are great. We love them. Everybody in this movie acts like he's the greatest and it's just terrible. So for a large part of this movie, I'm just hating Joe Piscopo.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of great scenes that I wouldn't want to have not seen. The animated pig wrestling, girl dissolving in the bathroom.
Right.
All the cool shit at the end with Treat Williams Uzi and people with his face ripped off. And that elevates it a little bit above bad for me to passable good, a bad good. I am going to give it that extra half a bullet that you okay. wouldn't go for. Just a smidge more. Liked it a smidge more. Two bullets. This is a two bullet one for me.
Agree, disagree, but I don't fault you for your thoughts either.
Fucking Piscopo, man. This could have been like a solid three bullet if he just wasn't so awful.
Yeah.
He's just so bad in this.
Again, like I read the tagline and shit and was even like, maybe Piscopo was okay.
Yeah,
or something.
Give him a
like,
little more action yeah. to do. Yeah, he's got his comedy is like... Work. Salt and pepper to that, but utilize the fact that he's like in shape and shit. But no, they leaned into the comedy.
If Treat
that is not funny,
if Treat Williams's own
girl's
review,
bicycle seat quip, notwithstanding, that's pretty, cool. pretty funny.
If Treat Williams is,
it's because her ass and her pussy would be all up on him the whole time.
Oh,
that's what's up.
By mistake,
he's just buried up in that ass and pussy.
By mistake. If he really improvised his own lines in this movie...
I mean, with them cutting before his punchlines... Like,
I wouldn't admit to that.
Yeah, he had to have been at least doing some.
Like, I would be like, yeah, no, somebody else wrote that shit.
You don't script a scene that ends before a punchline's delivered.
Oh, boy.
It's crazy!
I feel like we were the punchline.
That's right.
This week.
Not next week, though. Next week's a fucking celebration. 100th episode of Baby Oil and Blow... We're not just throwing a party. We're throwing a fucking bloodbath. Next action
party.
Horror movie is going to be Wesley Snipes as fucking Blade.
What?
It's going to be great. We're going to be pumping techno.
He's in that new movie.
It's gonna be fun shit.
About the Dolomite.
That's right. The Rudy Ray Moore biopic or whatnot. Yeah. I've heard good things about that.
With Joe Piscopo's good friend Eddie Murphy.
That's right.
It all ties together.
Piscopo and Murphy, the only two guys who didn't get fired from SNL that year. That yeah. that disastrous new cast.
What about Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
She came on, I think, like
afterwards,
the year after
yeah,
that.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
She's what really saved the show.
Well, we'll talk some Snipes. next week.
And maybe a little Dreyfus.
Ooh, and a Donald Logue, too,
Donald
right?
Donald Logue, fucking Deacon Frost as Deacon Frost. It's going to be a good time, I promise.
Good time on the baby oil and the blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. Use a friend.